You might still be cleaning up glitter from the holidays, because after all, the tiny, shiny sparkles seem to be everywhere, from holiday cards to decorations. And it turns out, glitter is also in our waterways. The Allegheny Front's Kara Holsoppel reports.
At Little House Big Art, a crafting studio in Pittsburgh, 8-year-old Imogen Nowak sorts through jars and trays, looking for just the right beads.
Do you want some more?
Okay. She's making a special necklace for her mom, and while she's not using any glitter today, it's a favorite.
Which is why I add glitter to things that I'm making or things that I love. It adds a little sparkle to life.
Studio owner Elizabeth Basher says she goes through a lot of it here.
About 100% of the people who come in find some way to use glitter.
So when Basher saw some recent headlines calling glitter an environmental hazard, well, it was hard.
Kind of heartbroken.
In November, an article in the UK's Independent and then in other publications went viral after they pointed to a big problem with glitter and calls from some scientists to ban it. Sherry Mason is a chemist at the State University of New York at Fredonia. She says glitter gets everywhere.
We've all had these experiences, right, of having a kid's birthday party or, you know, having a craft event with, you know, with your kids. And the glitter comes out and, you know, 3 years later, you're still finding it in and amongst your house.
Mason studies plastic pollution in the Great Lakes. She says when you wash your hands or clothes to get rid of glitter, that's where it ends up. In lakes, rivers, and oceans.
The vast majority of plastics that we find in the environment are these small pieces of plastic that are considered microplastics. I mean, majority of glitter is just, it's a microplastic.
Microplastics are technically 5 millimeters in diameter or smaller. Mason says most are more like a millimeter. Researchers estimate 10,000 metric tons of plastic debris enter the Great Lakes every year. Until recently, there were microplastics called microbeads in facial scrubs and toothpaste. Mason's discovery of tiny plastics in Lake Erie helped lead to federal legislation, the Microbead Free Waters Act of 2015, banning their use in some consumer products, and for good reason.
Plastics, by their nature, are very good at absorbing pollutants from the external environment onto their surface, things like, you know, polychlorinated biphenyls, polyaromatic hydrocarbons, things that are known to be carcinogens, mutagens, endocrine disruptors.
Mason says fish eat the tiny pieces of plastic, and chemicals could be passed through their flesh to us. The plastic itself might even break into smaller pieces that lodge into the meat we eat. And while facial washes are no longer made with microplastics in the U.S., glitter is still pretty common in makeup. Of course, there's been some backlash over this call to end glitter as we know it. Some say our dependence on disposable items like plastic bags is the bigger issue. Mason sees both sides.
Glitter is not the biggest piece of the pie, but it's an easy piece as a society for us to get rid of.
Mason suggests we could use less glitter or switch to a sustainable, biodegradable brand. Elizabeth Basher at Little House Big Art found one made in Denmark.
It's a much higher cost, but I think we'll probably go ahead and do that. And then it's compostable, so it'll be we'll have glitter in our community garden.
Basher says for the first time, she'll have to charge customers for the glitter to make their art projects sparkle. For Here and Now, I'm Carol Holsoppel.